Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
As that's being collected, I'm going to go over to Matthew this morning, and we're going to continue in the parable of the talents. I'm in a series called Before the Foundation, and what I'm actually doing is going through the parable, Jesus' parables, and I've never done this before, so it's new to me. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 13 first, and I've just been allowing the Lord to show me things in His Word that I believe are pertinent for the body of Christ right now, and I'm excited about it. And sometimes these truths and things that the Lord gives us can be challenging, and they can be a little offensive to our natural mind and to our flesh. But what I would challenge you to do is, when you hear the Word and the Word is taught, if I don't deliver it just right, go ahead and separate that out and forgive me. Okay? I'll do my best to speak the truth in love. Sometimes I get a little excited and say things in a way that I shouldn't, but it may still be truth. Okay? How many have ever said the right thing in the wrong way? Okay? So, have mercy on the preacher this morning. But if the truth is coming and it's coming right and it's from the Word, and solidify or see that it actually is from the Word, then we need to honestly look at that and be repentant toward our Lord. In other words, have that humble heart where we're looking at His Word and saying, yep, that's that truth right there. I see that. And then we take our lives and we stand in front of this mirror, and in the mirror of the Word, we look and go, oh, no, I got a hair out of place right there. You know, need to brush my teeth, you know? I need to straighten my tie. I need to fix my shirt. That's what that mirror is for, so that the expression of the resurrection within us comes to full manifestation. So Faith Family Church, life in Christ. What does that mean? Part of what we are believing for is that you're receiving truth that transforms the mind. And as it does, then there can be, through obedience, a release of the resurrection of Christ within you to your world. There is an establishment of the covenant that has been made between God the Father and you personally through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that establishment has been done on Jesus' part, and you've been made perfect in righteousness by Jesus' act, but there needs to be a perfecting of your faith. So in other words, when you understand who you are in Christ, there now is a responsibility to put on the new man. That's what Colossians says, correct? Ephesians says similar things. You have a responsibility then to put on that new man, to become an expression now to the earth around you, whether it be your spouse, your family, your co-workers, the church as a whole. You now have a responsibility in the impartation of the talent to you to then express that to your world. Okay? So Matthew chapter 13, verse number 34 is kind of our golden scripture, and it says this: all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable He did not speak to them. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. In the Bible, in basic English, it says this: that it might come true which was said by the prophet, opening my mouth, I will give out stories. I will give knowledge of things kept secret from before time. Isn't that interesting? Before time. So in other words, before the earth was, before there was a creation, before any of this was here, there has been knowledge that is in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that has been at the proper time revealed to the creation. So before you were ever here, God had your answer. Right? The Lord said to the prophet Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and I ordained you. Come on, think about that for yourself. Don't think about the preacher. They could put your own name in there. Okay? God is saying to you individually, I knew you before you were ever on the planet, and I planned this all out for you. And here's some, Jesus comes to the earth and says, here's what it's like. And if we adhere to that and look into that and think about that and take that into ourselves, the Holy Spirit will begin to work inside of us and begin to teach us what that means for us individually and then what that means for us as the church collective. But we carry the resurrection. How many are born again? You've received Christ into your heart. You have the nature of God within you right now. God, Jesus didn't just come to get you into heaven. He came to get heaven into you. Into you. See, this is why Paul would look at his situation and go, if God be for me, who could be against me? In other words, he's thinking about all that God is in the face of all these things and going, you don't have a chance, things. Amen? So these parables contain truths. And what we've seen so far in what we've looked at in the parable of the talents, and you can go back and listen on the website if you want to and catch up on some of these things. But we see that God has deposited his goods in us. We're going to read this in just a second. But God has given us differing talents according to our strengths, which we saw was dunamis. It's the strength of God, the power of God. We learn that faith will go and invest or minister out of what God has placed in us. Faith people are not victims, they are victors. We learn that there will be an accounting for what has been given to us. In this, we have learned that God is love and he does expect a return on investment. Did you know that? We saw that God honors faithfulness and he is looking for faithful people. So what I want to do this morning is wrap up the last part of this. So we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to go to verse number 18. And this is the parable of the talents is what we're in. So Matthew, if you just flip over a couple of pages or, you know, scroll down, whatever, if you're on your tablet or whatever you're on. Matthew chapter 25, and then go over to verse 18. We're going to look at the lazy servant. Now, I want to look at this, and this is not designed to make you feel bad, but realize when I was praying about this, I was thinking about it and looking at these verses, and I'm praying, Lord, what do you want me to emphasize here? And one of the things that he really brought out to me, for me personally, and I believe for us as well, is that he said, don't doubt me on what I say, Sean. Now that's good, isn't it? Now that can be taken two ways. One, God's going to do what he said in the sense of his promises are true. You know what the other side of it is? That the way he dealt with the lazy servant, he'll deal with me that way too. So there's a comfort there and a, oh, I better watch it. Come on, how many of you have ever felt that before? Okay. You know, we live in a day today in the modern church where the grace message has been twisted. It's been all knotted up and turned into fleshiness. Any message that you hear preached from a pulpit or from a friend or on a DVD or on a CD or on Facebook Live or on YouTube or on Twitter, I don't care, wherever that it can be broadcasted, that is a message supposedly of the gospel that enables and increases the deeds of the flesh in the name of grace is a false doctrine. It is false. And if you follow it, you will have more trouble in your life and with demons than you thought you ever had. You thought you had trouble before. We live in a day where people are simply turning their faces away from God and deciding, I'm going to do it my way, and I like this social gospel. We're all okay. It's all okay. Jesus didn't say it was all okay. He said we need, you know, people say, I've made this statement. I'm on a little rabbit trail, but it'll be good, and then I'll get back on the regular trail. People make the statement, well, Jesus preached love and acceptance. No, he didn't. Ooh, did you feel that? It went out, and then it just poof. No, he didn't. He taught the kingdom of God and repentance. And he is love. But love will speak the truth. Do you know you can have truth without love, but you can't have love without truth? You have to have truth to have love. There has to be a standard, amen? And the standard is the word. So God didn't, did Jesus love people? Absolutely, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But did Jesus go around going, you're all okay, you're all okay, it's all okay, we're all okay, I love you, you're all okay, I love you. No, just love, no, don't deal with sin, don't do that. No, we're just going to love each other. To hell? I don't really want to do that. And I don't want you to go there. See, as a good parent, you all know that you don't just accept everything your kids do. My little precious child, I just don't have to discipline them at all. They're a terror. I don't even have to meet them, and I know they're a terror. There is no child on the planet that doesn't need discipline. Doesn't exist. Even God is still disciplining his adult children. Or at least we like to think we're adult children. Glory, right? All right, so I want to deal with this. So if this comes and it challenges you, good. Take it, think about it. Don't get bitter or offended. Pray about it. Seek where God's speaking to you and then make adjustments. Amen, because it's for your good. So in verse 18, it says this, Matthew chapter 25, verse 18. It says, but he who had received one, the one talent, went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. I want to make this statement right here. God will give you a word. Heidi was talking about this. He'll speak to you about something for your life, and then he'll give you a long time to see if you're going to obey. Did you know that? But what else do we know about the Lord? He will come and do what? Settle the account. Well, I don't want any personal responsibility. I know. See, we live in the world of the gospel of irresponsibility. I don't know responsibility. The gospel of no responsibility. Not my fault. Whose fault is it? Well, 2,000 years ago, my family was attacked by another tribe, and it morphed my genes and my generations, and now I'm messed up, and I can't do anything about it. No. That's not how it works. We all are responsible for our day. We're all responsible for the gifts and the talents that have been given to us to be able to administer them in fellowship with the Lord and then know how to use them in the generation that we're in. See, you're here for such a time as this. And if you listen to the world, they'll all go, well, I don't know why I'm here. Why am I here? What is the point? If you knew God, you'd know the point. If you'd repent and serve him, you'd know the point. If you would step back and go, God's given me talents. I have talents, and not just follow the course of the world. That's why the world needs to drink all the time. They need to be in this, why? Because reality's too tough. Reality ain't tough at all if you have the Holy Ghost and a relationship with the Lord. I have a vision. I know where this ends for me. This ends for me standing before the Lord Jesus Christ and him looking at me going, well done. I've got an end game in mind. I heard Lester Summerall say this years ago. He said, I live every day for the day that I stand before the Lord. Ooh, you better do it. People say, well, I'm not called to go around the world. You're called to go around your world. I don't want to go over to China. Don't go. Go across the street. I mean, you don't even need to go to a foreign country anymore to meet a foreigner. Right? The world's interconnected. This is not I need to build a wall statement, okay? I'm just saying the culture, we have people everywhere that are of different ethnicity, background, religions, all that. You can be a missionary where you're at. You can be a missionary on Facebook. It's true. So he says this. He says, it says that he went and buried it, and then the Lord came and settled the accounts. And skip down to verse Number 24, because I don't want to go through the other ones. I already did. He says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Then why didn't he work? That's my question. If he knows who the Lord is, why didn't he work? I mean, at least do something. You know, at least invest somewhere. Do something. What is he saying out of his own mouth? I know who you are and what you expect, but I'm going to do my own thing anyway. Isn't that interesting? See, sometimes we miss these things in here. Then he goes on to verse 25. He says, and I was afraid. And that's what causes people to bury their talent in the ground. He says, I went and hid your talent in the ground. Can I ask you something? Did God put fear in him? No. He chose fear over faith. Amen? He chose it over faith. So he says, I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. I can almost hear the attitude. Here's your talent. I didn't do anything with it, but at least I didn't lose it. Come on, how many of your kids ever done that to you? Well, at least I'm here. Well, you're about to not be here. I'm going to make another one look just like you. You know, Bill Cosby really helped me in parenting. He said his dad used to say to him, I can kill you and make another one look just like you. That's not scripture, by the way. The point is, he's not taking seriously God's words. He's not respecting what God has given him talent-wise. Does that make sense? I know it's quiet, but that truth settles, doesn't it? You, each person in this place, we all know from last week that Mike has not been given the ability to sing. But my goodness, he's going to deposit that one talent and earn interest on the bugger anyway. Okay? We've all known that. I've joked with Mike about that. But where Mike is talented, he's responsible for. Where I'm talented, I'm responsible for. I have a responsibility to invest into the talent and then invest the talent into somebody or some place or somewhere. You have a responsibility to do it. If many times people don't do what God has put on their heart because they're afraid. Is it okay to live in fear? It is not. God says over and over again, fear not. Do not fear. Don't fear. You have gifts, abilities, and talents, and it's not okay to let them sit, to bury them in the ground and go, I can't do anything. Stop that. That's not what the Lord said about you. He didn't say you can't do anything. God has never created something worthless. Come on. See, this is the culture of the world. This is the culture of the enemy that he's created in the world. People will say the most, you ever look at comments under something, like on Facebook or wherever? Some of the comments, I'm like, if this person that made this comment about this other person, whether I agree with what was said initially or not, was standing in front of that person, chances are they don't have the guts to utter a word. But they can hide in their little, you know, their mom's basement. Sorry. Had a little bit of antagonism come on there. Do you understand what I'm saying, though? Everybody in this place has worth because you're created. Oh, we got to go look at it. Go to Genesis. You go to Genesis. You got to go to Genesis. You say what chapter? Hear from the Lord. Find out. No, Genesis chapter 1. I want to talk about this first this morning. Or this is my last point, I guess I should say. But this is going to be the first of three different things that you're talented in. And I want you to see this. And I'm going to finish reading where I'm at. You go to Genesis 1, verse 26, and I'm going to finish reading in Matthew 5, 26 through or so here, just a couple of verses. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed." He said, "So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents." Does that sound like equality to you? Does that sound like social government? Well, we have to take from the rich and give to the poor. Here, Jesus, quote unquote, took from the poor and gave to the rich. I didn't write the Bible. Remember, I'm only 42. I'm just here for this season. Then I'm going to heaven, okay? So this was written long before me. This was written by the guy who made you, Jesus. Take from the one and give it to the 10. You know, if you don't serve with your gifting in the kingdom like you should, it'll be taken from you and given to someone else. See, this is where I got to go back to this. Don't doubt the Lord's word on this. He's right. He will. He will. I heard a minister say this one time. He was talking about the importance of doing your part in the kingdom and being faithful to the Lord and maturing spiritually, because that's our responsibility. And he was saying, you know, if you don't do your part and we have to pick up part of it while we're here on earth, we may come visit you in heaven. Say, what's the deal? You may be chilling out in your heavenly mansion and hear a knock at the door. Oh, Sean, you arrived. Yeah, I did. Know what I had to do after you left? Okay? In other words, please, fellowship with the Lord. Find out your talent and do it. Invest it. Even if you don't want to, you know, start your own company, find a company that's already started and deposit in with the bankers. Come on. Do you see what I'm saying? Find your place. Function in your grace. You'll enjoy your race a whole lot more. You'll have more joy in it. Amen? Then he says in verse 29, "For everyone who has, it will be taken away from him and given to him who has nothing." Is that what it says? Oh, okay, good. I'm glad you're paying attention. "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be..." Well, that's mean, Jesus. You know, it's a theocracy, and God's name is Theo. Okay? All right, Genesis chapter 1. Let's go over there. Your first gift. This is where I wanted to start and where I'll finish up today. Genesis chapter 1. We just got a few more minutes here. Verse number 26. "Then God said, let us" what? "Make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. Now that's mankind. In the image of God, he created him what? Male and female. He created them. Male and female, both were created in the image of who? God. Okay? They both were created in the image of God. So your first talent that you've been talented with is a physical body. And who are you made in the image of? You need to walk down the street and go, "Anybody want to know what God looks like? Right here. This is what God looks like. He is good looking." Okay? In other words, you are made in the image of God. So people go, "What does God look like?" Yeah. Do you see? God has given you this talent of this body. It's a gifting to you. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? How are you investing, ministering with this physical body? Okay? So you've been given that gift. Let's go over to, I could comment more there, but let's go to Psalms 139. I want you to see these scriptures and write them down. And then you can look at them again later, and the Holy Spirit will teach you things. You'll see things. And I'd like to hear about them when you get them. I know many of you share things, but I like to hear because sometimes I get good sermon points when you share them with me. Psalms 139, verse number 13 and 14 says this: "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." What are you? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, those words, like fearful and wonderful, they have to do with reverence. Wonderfully made, fearfully means this. It means reverently or to be held in awe. So in other words, God made you and went, "Oh, look." I'm talking about your physical body here. And people say, "Yeah, but have you seen what's going on in the earth?" Yeah, no, but sin got in. But think about this. How many of you have ever watched a good sunrise? You see, it's like electric. Orange and reds and yellows and the sun's right, and how many of you in, like, on a snowy morning, but it's clear and that light hits that snow and it's blinding. You ever had that? That's with sin in it. Imagine what it's going to do with no sin in it. You think the creation's beautiful now. Whew. God's going to go, "Burn it all. I got something better. I believe in global warming." It's a coming. Now I'm going to be on the other side of it looking down, but I believe in it. You think mountains and things like that are beautiful now. You have not seen anything yet. We think we have amazing architecture, and really what we're doing in these things manifesting in the earth through man and through humanity is really a marvel and a glory to God in many ways. But we have not seen anything yet. There are instruments, John, you don't even know about. And John knows every instrument in the world because I've played word games with him. And he goes, he'll come up with some word. I'm like, "That's not a word." And then we'll Google it. "It's a word." I don't even understand those. Anyway. But there are instruments there we've never even heard of. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully means, it means to distinguish. It means marked out. It means to be separated. In other words, God went, "Nate, here. There's nothing else like him." I did that one right. All right, let's move on. Taylor, here. Marked out, separated. Fearfully, reverently made, your physical body. So what should you do with your physical body? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So what am I supposed to do with this body? I'm supposed to allow righteousness to manifest in this physical body. I'm supposed to live from within and allow the glory of God to come out. Now, before you get in your mind, and I want you to think this way. I want you to think in terms of using your mouth to speak truth, using your hands to serve and not harm, using your physical body in defense but not in attacking, using your abilities, your mind, all those things for holy and right and acceptable things. But I want you to think about this in conjunction with that. Think about how Jesus used his physical body and how the apostles used their physical body. They prayed for the sick. They spoke life and truth. They listened to the Holy Spirit. They were faithful to their family and friends. They served their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. They did not forsake gathering together in worship. They lived holy lifestyles. They lifted their hands in worship and their voice in praise. They went where they were led by the Holy Spirit and stayed faithful even through persecution to their physical body. They were beaten and jailed for their faith. They were willing to shed blood for the cause of Christ as they saw their master do. They studied to show themselves approved. They labored in prayer. Peter's shadow healed the sick. Paul had cloth taken from his body and healed people and removed demons. Jesus had people touch his clothes and they were healed. Paul fell on a dead person and raised him up. Our bodies are designed to house the presence of God. Paul said, "You know not what that your temple is the, or that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" So don't just think in terms of, I have to live a holy life, what people think is holy. Yes, there's that side of it too. But your body is designed to fully absorb the resurrection. You're not just designed to be the nice guy. You're also designed with hands to be the healing guy. How much kinder can you get to the person who doesn't know the Lord when you lay hands on them when they are sick? You help them financially. You use this body, this hand, to reach into your wallet and give them money for their doctor bill or for their groceries. Come on, come on, think about it. You are a vessel that is designed for righteousness. You have been talented physically in your body to be able to walk, to be able to move, to be able to give, to be able to serve. Gentlemen, you have been gifted physically to protect and to serve. Women, ladies, you have been gifted physically to house another human and nurture and feed. Come on. It's a miracle. A miracle talent that you've been given in your physical being. Do you see that? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are reverently, God in awe says, "Whoo, look what I did. Mark them, separate them, set them apart. I love this creation." Go back to Genesis, you think about it. What did he create you as? What did he create you to be? You are in dominion. You are above every animal, every other bird, every animal that's on the... That's why the world wants you to worship the things. The other creation, the cows. You know? Save the planet, kill all the cows. Cow farts are killing the planet, the ozone. It's all going to go under. Yeah, because God couldn't think ahead to cow farts. I would be a terrible politician. I'll just say that, tell you that right now. But I'm telling you what, you are so far above an animal in creation. You are the dominant one over everything else. Isn't that wonderful? Now, does that mean we should go around just mistreating the creation? No. No, 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 no. In fact, the Lord said this to me. He said, "Sean," he said, "you don't, people should never, and you don't ever worship the creation as God." He said, "but you should treat my creation as I do, God." Oh, I thought that was pretty good. I should treat the creation the way God would treat it, but I should never worship it as God. Why? I'm above it, and God's above all of us. Does that make sense? See, you are wonderfully made. You are fearfully made. You have the ability, and the world will want to tell you, "Oh no, you came from a monkey." No, no, I'm above a monkey. Right? I'm above them. I went to the zoo, and I saw the monkeys. I am well above a monkey. I watched a monkey. How many of you have seen that video on YouTube of the monkey drinking his own pee? How many see the, I went to the zoo in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and there's a monkey with a hand, his hand full of monkey poop. And he's rolling, puts it in his mouth and rolls it around in his mouth. Listen, I've never done that. Somebody say amen. If I do, you need to cast the devil out of me. Listen, I am way above the species. The species is caged by the human. Amen? And there are certain things that God will set in order that we'll never be able to when he comes back. Amen? Shane, would you come? If you'd stand with me this morning. Just turn the keyboard on if you would, Caleb. I just want to give somebody an opportunity to receive Jesus if you need to. You, listen to me, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would. Just let's focus on the Lord right now. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. There's somebody here. I know this by the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's more than one, and I'm not going to have you come forward or anything, but you just need to acknowledge this. You're not loving what God has made you to be. You're not sharing the same understanding of yourself that God has of you. And he's asking you to repent this morning. He's asking you to, what that means is change, start changing the way you talk about yourself and the way that you think about yourself. And he's saying, get into my word and find out what I said about you. Find out how I said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Begin to acknowledge, the Spirit of God is telling you to begin to acknowledge what he has said about you. And the Holy Spirit is going to open your eyes to see the wonderful things that he's ordained for you to do. And in faith, you need to go ahead and do that. Even though maybe you don't feel like it, it doesn't look like it, and it seems like maybe you really are the things that you have thought about yourself. But the Lord is telling you this morning, you are not that. You are what I have said about you, and the enemy is lying to you, and you need to resist that. And go ahead and move forward in faith with me. And the Lord says, he'll show you great and mighty things. Things that you never thought would be possible. And you'll give him all the glory, of course, because you know it's him. But in the process, you're going to have a self-esteem rise within you that has never been there before on a level. And God will make you strong to be able to show others how to live in that place of freedom. So if that's you, I just pray that over you right now in the name of Jesus. I speak that over you. Go ahead and receive that word for yourself and begin to act on it, speak on it, think on it, and see yourself the way God sees you. Maybe you're in this place today and you don't know the Lord, or you've backslidden away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is a real place and I don't want you to go there. Heaven is a real place and I certainly want you to go there. And Jesus said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus came not to condemn you, but to be condemned for you, that you might be made righteous or right with God through him being made sin for you, through Jesus being made sin for you. And this, you receive Jesus by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life in this place, or you've backslidden and you need to recommit to him, would you raise your hand right now, just high so I can see it? Raise your hand up if you would. Ushers, help me if there is anybody that I can't see. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise God. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for ministering to us today, Lord. Your word is so good and so true. We give you the praise and the glory for it. Lord, we'll be doers of your word and not hearers only. Holy Spirit, we'll be open to you all week to speak to us about these things. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything this morning, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you need healing in your body or you need the prayer of agreement, I'm going to be up here available and we'll have some others too. If you need prayer, please don't hesitate to come. And we'll be glad to minister to you. God bless you guys. Have a great week. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.